92.3 is FM Talk. There
is. Yes, indeed. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Phil running the show from Carson City. Texts. Already we've had some for Greg Kidd, who's running against Mark Amadei. And we'll ask those questions, your questions, to Mr. Kidd. That'll be great to know these things for Election Day, which is, oh my gosh, we're a week away from early voting in Washoe County. That's the, you know what, that I just got the voting packet yesterday, Washoe County. The early voting, 1 week away from early voting, was the one piece of information missing from the official ballot package. It's got some very wordy instructions for mail-in voting, which many people do not do. And it does tell you when Election Day is, November 5th. It has who to contact. It has the registrar's website, the phone number, a lot of Spanish, too. But it doesn't tell you when early voting starts. I just thought that was odd. I mean, it's a pretty big packet there. So thank goodness for Google. Early voting in Washoe County begins next Saturday, the 19th. Woohoo. A lot more to say about the campaigns and voting coming up later on in the show. So just about, Phil, you got your voting packet, didn't you?
No, not yet. The two people I live with got theirs, but once again, they didn't send me one, and I'm going to have to call and complain.
Oh, this has happened before? I was going to say, if you didn't get it yesterday, you're bound to get it on Monday. But
that's what I'm hoping, but I doubt it.
Really? So you never got the ballot mailed the previous election, what, 2022?
Not in 2022, not in June. But I have to talk to them every year to get a ballot sent to my house, and I have to go pick it up down on 9th Street in Reno.
These problems, and, you know, Carson City has a problem. The original ballot had mistakes. And that's why we have Scott Hohen, who's the Carson City Clerk Recorder, coming on with us to eliminate the confusion at 10:30. He's already in the lobby waiting. So Scott's going to be talking about the Carson City ballot. I think, and I hate to pick on, like, the registrar, the Washoe County Registrar, this whole mail-in thing has brought so much complexity and so many opportunities for mistakes to be made, that it's certainly not simple anymore. So I feel for the registrar's office, and they got to be getting a ton of questions and calls and things like that. So that's why we have the Carson City Clerk coming on at 10:30. Some local news. I don't think this is very good news. Homewood Mountain in Tahoe. You know, Homewood is our little, used to be family-run mountain in Tahoma. Used to be very quaint. You know, I always called it the Mayberry of ski towns so, because it was almost like, I don't know, when I think of Tahoma, how it was even just like 5-10 years ago, I pictured a dirt road going through the place. It doesn't have a dirt road. It's 50, Highway 50, but it has the little general store with the creaky wood floor. And that was about it. Oh, there was a boat store. That's right. There was a boat fix-it shop or something like that. And little Homewood Mountain, which was so small and so quaint. But all of Tahoma is nothing like that now. Now Homewood Mountain is just surrounded by these multi-million dollar homes. Well, anyway, Homewood says they are not going to open for the upcoming ski season because an investment partner is holding back their money, their investment, because a permit approval has not gone through yet. Homewood said it turned in the revision to the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency like back in May. The revision, the changes they want include moving the gondola terminal to reduce density and to open up the view of the mountain and the lake, but that has not been approved yet. So the financial partner held back for this ski season. And this is, you know, a place that was always special to me. I'd always stay at the Tahoma Meadows Bed and Breakfast, which was a wonderful experience. I think the owner sold that, though. So, you know, I don't ski, but I love ski towns. I love the atmosphere. I love Park City, Utah. I love Steamboat Springs, California. And I love Tahoe, too. I don't like Vail. You know, Vail is too big. And we just went to Park City a couple of months ago, and now I don't care for Park City anymore because it's gotten way too big. It's a metropolis on the main drag in Park City now. It's just not the. I'm afraid to look at Steamboat Springs now, but Tahoe, they've really kind of held the growth, but it's starting to show, especially in places like Tahoma. All right, so what else is? Oh, my friend, and I promised him I would mention this on the radio. My friend, who owns a Tesla Cybertruck, wants to tell you. Please stop harassing him over his new truck. I mean, I know a lot of people, including me, sorry, Tim, who think that they're ugly, really ugly. But the abuse that Tim is getting around town with his Cybertruck, I've never heard of such angry reaction to somebody else's vehicle. Since the Edsel days, actually the Edsel, okay, 1960, I think, but I don't think people picked on people for buying an Edsel. This is a culture thing where you can really insult people, strangers insulting Cybertruck owners. He says this is happening. It kind of like, it reminds me when everybody started getting Hummers and then they made the H2s. Like just the biggest, widest Hummers. And the people who hated Hummers when they first came out, you're destroying the environment. They would say that to people out loud at like gas stations and things. But Tim told me that in one parking lot with his Cybertruck, some guy walking by said, why would you have that ugly frickin' thing? And another guy, when he was on vacation in another town, another guy loogied his Cybertruck on its side window, a loogie on the window. Yes, in a democracy, you can protest anything you want, but I don't think the Founding Fathers considered loogies to be part of that free speech discussion. Well, here's the thing. First off, I don't understand who would even say anything to anybody about the design of their vehicle. Would you yell or scold somebody for driving a big truck or a Prius? That bothers me that people do that. But this truck, I got to blame the truck in some way here. It's like a designed purposely to get a reaction. But again, what business is it to others? So I know, I get it. Every time, you know, every time my wife sees a Cybertruck, she has to ask me who would buy such an ugly thing. But, you know, let's try to give these vision impaired folks, sorry, Tim, a break, you know? Yes, I think it's ugly too, but I wouldn't dream of telling people, much less strangers, that, you know, mind your own biz. There you go, Tim. You know, they put a lot of money into these things, and it kind of makes them sad, you know. So I sound like Mama again on the radio. Okay, get back to some of the, we read the two emails for Greg Kidd here, and we're collecting texts for Greg Kidd when he comes on at 11 o'clock this morning, 884-9910. This was a Facebook message to me about how terrible CBS was at the vice presidential debate. I said last Saturday, I said that the two CBS interrogators were so biased, so in the bag for the Democrat Party, it was between laughable and contemptible. ABC was slanted toward the Democrats in the presidential debate, and CBS, I think, even outdid them. The topics and the questions almost exclusively highlighted Democrat strengths and Republican weaknesses, and the questions to Vance were mocking, and they repeatedly argued against him as if they were taking part in the debate. It really was another three against one debate. I'll say it again. Yeah, I feel that way. And finally, a response, and I knew I'd get one, about last Saturday's, "Damn you, Major League Baseball," for its cruelty and ingratitude to Pete Rose. I said, you know, here was this badass who threw himself into everything, and Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, he was the big deal, you know, back then, and always all in, always 100%, which to me is a true American metaphor for American culture that produced him. Yes, actions have consequences, and he knew those consequences for betting, and he still made them, but the punishment is what I was focusing on was way overdone, yet he never complained or criticized those who banned him, and he gave everything to Major League Baseball, but they did not put him in the Hall of Fame. Well, now the sports writers are talking about, well, he's gone now, and they think that Major League Baseball is going to be putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, but what good is it now? In his last interview, he was asked, what if they induct you into the Hall of Fame after you're gone? And Pete said it'd mean nothing. It would mean nothing, and he was right. And this was a much longer rant last Saturday. I'm sorry about that. It was only after I saw the excellent HBO Max documentary, Charlie Hustle. And I didn't even share with you folks the worst part of this, that his son, Pete Jr., of course, idolized his dad. He went to the stadium with dad for every Reds game, you know, little Pete Jr. He's wearing his mini Pete Rose 14 uniform. He's running around helping the ball boys and loving baseball. Well, Pete Jr. joined the minor leagues and played for over 20 years in the minor leagues. And he says in this documentary that people booed him because of who his dad was and the cruelty you see when the public can turn into an organized mob against Pete Rose Jr. and Cybertrucks so they can look down on, you know, celebrities, even celebrities' children. I just have no words except rest in peace, Charlie Hustle. So should Pete Rose be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Yes, the ban should end at his death, though it means little now because Pete Rose isn't being punished at this point. His fans are, in my opinion. And I stay away from sports. I'm not even interested in sports, but it's easy to get me mad, okay? So, all right. Yes, 884-9910, number to call or text. You can ask me a question. Phil will read it, and that'll make for a great show. Scott Hohen from Carson City, the clerk registrar, if you will come on and talk about the Carson City ballot blooper and what you should do if you got a ballot that is being corrected, and they're sending new ones out. So that's coming up at 10:30. So we're on till noon. It's Live and Local. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:09.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hi again. It's 10:22. Nice day out there. I'm John Potter. It's Live and Local. Hello, Northern Nevada. Did anybody out there, and the phones are open for you, 884-9910, call or text, did anybody go see our former president last night at the GSR? All I've heard was from folks, a couple of people who went, they just generally said good speech. I think our, because I watched our local news at dinner time on TV, and I think our local news ran about 15 seconds of it at 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, yeah. They ran nothing really on Trump speaking at GSR at dinner time last night. What they did was they said, Donald Trump is speaking at the GSR, and they ran this live video of Trump talking without sound. And even worse, I watched Channel 2 last night. The only thing really they had about Trump speaking at GSR, of course, he's talking, the sound is off. We got a statement from the local Democratic Party about Trump's visit, and they read this statement. So basically, Trump was silenced in the news, and the whole thing was about what the Democrats thought about Donald Trump at the GSR. It's that kind of bias and slant that made my last year at Channel 2 so difficult. And it's something I'm just, it's hard to get used to. It really is.
May I make but an if observation?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have noticed that on a lot of the stations, especially your old one, that the people reporting the news weren't even old enough to vote for or against Trump in 2016.
Yeah, I hate to pick on age, and you know, I hate to pick on anybody. I'm sure they do a good job at what they do. My main issue is I can only think of two or three people who have been in Nevada, two or three people there who've been in Nevada for like over 3 or 4 years, and yet it's all Two News Nevada. It's not really Nevada. And so mistakes are made, and I don't think they fully know our community. It's, you know, just the way it is. I think it's a sad thing, and it's this isn't, I'm pointing at them, the workers. I think it's a sad thing that our local news media has been severely cut back, and there's not much, there's not as much, as you say, Phil, real reporting as there are press releases, which they rely on. There used to be like a good group of reporters back in the day whose beat was just like government watchdog. There was somebody who did stories on that. And what that scrutiny did was it kept public officials walking on the straight and narrow locally. The mayor, and I'm not saying these people would have gotten out of line. The mayor back in my day was Barbara Bennett, who was an honest woman.
She was.
Well, they had to be honest back then because the local media, we had big staffs at Channel 8 and Channel 2, big staffs that would be watchdogs over this kind of stuff. But the city government, you had people from the press who every day they went through everything you did and watched over your shoulder, and they were looking for stories. And that served such a useful purpose. That kept good government, basically, having a watchdog like the press. And when folks got out of line, they got caught. And today, none of that is happening. Instead, it's news releases put out by government or companies that drive the news. And we have levels of government that operate as if the only legitimate news to be discussed is what they put out in a press release, and they can cover up all sorts of tracks. And the loss of reporters, I mean real reporters who go out there, leaves us far more knowledgeable of what's happening in our community, and the future will have little record of us, I think, today, this year. I remember doing quite a bit of research, and it was the old newspapers that recounted every detail of life here. You could take a family name and you could find a story or a sports achievement or their business or a car wreck and an obituary about these people. They made a record of time, which we're losing right now. And in the future, we won't be able to find it, you know. With nothing to leave for the generations to follow. We're making no such record today. It's truly a loss. And I don't mean this because I got sour grapes toward my ex-employer, which I do. I was not a happy separation, being cut off the air when I was just before I got to my thank yous on my goodbye. But aside from that, we need strength in our local news media, and it's tough to watch now. It's pretty embarrassing, and I try to avoid it. But I had to see what Trump said. I saw his mouth moving last night on the TV news, but no sound. I didn't see the 11 o'clock, but I sure heard what the Democrat party in Washoe County thought of Donald Trump's visit, and that's slanted, and it's biased, and I'll stand by that. All right, we're going to...
Donald Trump. I have a text here for you. It says, Phil, please tell John that people are attacking the owners of Tesla trucks because Elon Musk is backing Trump.
No, you know what? They were doing it before Elon Musk showed his favoritism for Trump. It was pretty brutal, Phil, from what I heard from people who told me. And I think we have a number of Cybertrucks in town because these people work at Tesla and they probably get a great deal on them. And what other reason could they have for having that thing? I don't mean to say that, but don't pick on these people, really. You know, I can relate. I remember how it was with those Hummers and everything, and people look down on you, and I have to make a comment to you. I just hate that. I don't think the ugly Edsel owners got that kind of abuse, because our culture has changed, and in that respect, not for the better. All right, got a break for Fox News. Up next, our Carson City clerk, who's in charge of the voting, in charge of the ballots, Scott Hohen, is here, and he's going to be with us in studio, and you can call up questions. We're going to even out the issue with the original ballots having those mistakes, and they're sending new ballots out. Well, what do you do with the old one? What if you already sent the old one in? All sorts of questions about this. So, hey, stick around for that. And we're just a week away from early voting. So I'm so glad Scott is here. And he didn't have to be here, but he is, because he wants to clear up a lot of the confusion. Let's break for Fox News, and we'll be back in a few minutes on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 10:30.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello, friends. John Potter, welcome back. Welcome back. We're taking text questions for Greg Kidd. He is coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. 884-9910, that's 775-884-9910. Text those questions in. Phil will let me know what those are, and I will ask Mr. Kidd when he comes in here live at 11 o'clock. But right now we have the Carson City Clerk Recorder, Scott Hohen. How are you doing, my friend?
Just fine. Thank you for the invite.
Is that pronounced right, Hohen?
Yeah,
Hohen?
Yeah, you've got it right.
All right, my friend. Well, I'll say it again. You did not have to come here. This is on your time, but you want to help out the people with their voting in Carson City. So let me start with the mail-in ballots that, we had mail-in ballots. They arrived, I think, last Saturday at Carson City Homes, but there were mistakes, and you had to mail out a corrected ballot due to errors. The original one listed Lynn Chapman of the Independent American Party, which is a right-wing third party, was listed as a Democrat, and the name of one of the candidates for Carson City School Board was misspelled. Is that right?
Yeah, the corrected ballot we need to do was that U.S. House of Representative race that you mentioned.
Lynn Chapman. All right.
So those that have the sample ballot that they received with all of the state ballot questions and the Carson City questions, that ballot is correct, and they see that correct.
Were sample ballots sent out in Carson City?
The original ballots beat the sample ballots by a couple of days.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll run through how this happened, first of all.
Yeah, my mistake. I mean, ultimately, it's my mistake. We have a team of professionals in Carson City that reviews the information that's put out, and we caught, I mean, it was accurate on the sample ballot, but we picked it up incorrectly on the actual ballot. So we're mailing out the corrected ballot, and it's actually in the mail. They'll probably receive it Tuesday because it's a holiday on Monday for the post office. But they're going to get their corrected ballot, and we want them to vote their corrected ballot.
So if folks in Carson City got the ballot listing Lynn Chapman as a Democrat, if they toss it out, and you get another ballot, when do those arrive?
The corrected ballot, they'll get it probably Tuesday, my guess, Tuesday, okay. Wednesday. And our goal is for you to submit the corrected ballot. We are actually going through the process of verifying signatures on the original ballot. We've probably got about 1,000 ballots in already, and we're verifying the signatures on those ballots. Just in the event that we don't get a corrected ballot, we will count their original ballot.
What if somebody fills out and mails them both?
We're doing signature verification on both, but we're going to count the corrected ballot, And if they don't send that corrected ballot in, then that's when we will count their original ballot. So the way the process works for us is you have to return your ballot either via the mail or drop it off and by postmarked election day on November 5. We have 4 days after November 5th to receive those mail ballots. So on Saturday at 1 o'clock, 1:30, when we do our final pickup from the post office, then that's when we will then start looking at our original ballots to make sure that if they didn't vote a corrected ballot, we count those original ballots.
What if somebody sends in the original ballot, but they don't send in the corrected ballot?
Yeah,
is the original ballot counted?
Yes, absolutely. Once it's signature verified, correct.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So you hold on to the original ballot turned in until you get at the office. You're holding on to the original ballot
until our secured vault. Yeah.
Until the corrected ballot comes in from that person, or if they vote in person, right?
Correct.
That's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But we expect probably about 10,000 people to vote in person. We've got a new location that we're spinning up, a new voting center we're spinning up. The Stewart Colony, the tribal location, wants to have an in-person voting center from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on November 5. So we're going to have two locations. We're going to have the Stewart Colony. We're going to have the community center. Mm-hmm. So about 10,000 people will be voting in person. We expect about 20,000 to come in via mail, U.S. mail, and we expect at least another 10,000 coming in from the drop-off directly.
So Carson City folks, just do the new ballot or go vote in person starting on the 19th. And one more question about the snafu here. How much is this mistake going to cost Carson City?
Yeah, we're keeping track of it, but I can report that back to you later.
I remember when Washoe County made a ballot mistake in the last election, 2022, it cost them, or us rather, $178,000 to fix it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be nearly that much. We only have 40,000 registered voters. And like I say, the in-person is not affected by this. Those are corrected ballots, but we'll report back. A lot of people have been asking.
You know, I was just talking a half hour ago about how these mail-in ballots have made things so more complicated. It's hard for me to blame. I mean, Phil out in Carson City, he's not getting his ballot from Washoe County. And it's hard to blame the registrar's office because tracking these and getting the mail-in ballots out and everything, it adds so much complexity. And I don't know if the staffs can really keep up with it. So are you folks in Carson City fully prepared?
I think we are. We've got five people full-time doing this. We're working today, in fact, the full day. But we have probably 80, 85 people from an election worker point of view ready to help us out, and we got more people on call. It's more answering the phones when, you know, we're going through a brand new voter registration system implemented by the state. So the state put out a mailing that was confusing to voters, asking people to...
The signature one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the voter registration card that the Secretary of State mailed out asking for signatures. And we discussed this 2 weeks ago, folks, that they were optional. They were targeted for folks whose signatures may have gone through some sort of change for whatever reason. And I detected a lot of confusion with those. How much confusion did you see?
See, one of the things that we asked the Secretary of State to do is change our postcard. So Washoe got a postcard asking voters to sign their name, put their driver's license, put their social. We demanded the Secretary of State change that registration mailing just to say, here's your voter registration card with your new voter identification number. Unfortunately, they included a flyer that says, please sign this signature update form, which there isn't one. They put on the envelope, please return it by a certain date, which there isn't one. No one is going to send in a postcard, an open postcard with a signature, driver's license, and a social on it. And we objected strenuously to that. So they did the postcard right. They just included this extra flyer, and it misled our voters tremendously. I protect our voter integrity. I'm the recorder, too. So I see property fraud, identity theft. We're trying our best to make sure that everything is secure.
Yeah, well, listen, I just got my official ballot, Washoe County, on Friday, and it's a pretty big bundle with an awful lot of words, and it's not very simple. Mm-hmm. And not only that, there's stuff missing. It did not have the early voting calendar on it or anything like that. And it was half Spanish. So it was kind of a bulky package, you know. There really is no way to simplify how complex this mail-in voting and the voting in person and such really is, though, is it?
Yeah, what I would recommend to those that are internet savvy is just go to our website, carson.org. We spun up a frequently asked questions page. So if you go to carson.org/2024ballot FAQ, or just go to carson.org/elections, we're going to have all the information there. And one of the things that we're going to do starting October 21st is start posting all those people that have voted in person, as well as all those people that we have received mail ballots for, whether it be original or the corrected ballot. So I want to be fully transparent to let people know if they want to check to see if we've gotten their mail ballot that will be counted. Go to our website, carson.org/elections.
If you just joined us, this is Scott Hohen. He's Carson City Clerk Recorder, talking about balloting and Election Day. Well, tell me about the early voting and Election Day. Do you have enough volunteers lined up to help you out? Do you need more? Do you need more help?
No, we don't. Carson is just so privileged to have these election workers that really care about our community. So we have an overwhelming response in terms of people that want to vote, want to work. We also expect a lot of election observers, so we're making the time to educate the election observers to see what they're going to see during the election. But early voting is listed on our sample ballot, page 4, and then the times are page 5. And we want to make sure that everybody's mail ballot can be received in a secure way. A lot of people don't trust the post office, so we added a mail drop box under a camera at City Hall, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We're adding a mail drop box that's manned by a bipartisan team at Carson Colony. The community center, obviously, during early election. Early election starts October 19th. It's hit right around the corner. So October 19th,
it's a week.
Saturday.
It's a week away. Well, okay, when we come back, there are things on the Carson City ballot. I mean, besides the state questions, there are two Carson City ballot questions. We'll get into that. And we're going to hear about the Secretary of State's new voter registration and election management system. So we have changes this year. So we'll be back after the break. Scott Hohen, again, Carson City Clerk Recorder. If you have a question for him, our phone number is 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter. Back in a few on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1047.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, my friends. We're here with Scott Hohen, the Carson City Clerk Recorder, for Election Day coming up and early voting starting 1 week from today. And you just he just handed me the sample ballot from Carson City, Nevada. I got to say, very nice job. I love this. This is nothing like the Washoe County sample ballot. I like on the front here, it says, notice to receive a sample ballot in large type. Call this number. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can't stand things that are small type. And this is an awesome sample ballot. And I'm not saying this part is awesome, but noticeably, it's all English. There's no Spanish.
Yeah, we don't hit the mark yet. We don't hit the number of the Hispanic voters necessary for us to do a bilingual ballot. We will probably, though, in 2026.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, we'll probably have a bilingual ballot in 2026.
Spanish population is growing. Not that that's a bad thing before you start writing your emails to the boss here. What voting machines are in Carson City? What kind of voting machines do you have out there?
We have Election Systems and Software, or ES&S, is our voting machine vendor. Carson City and Lander are two out of the 17 counties that use ESNS, where Washoe, Douglas, the other counties use the Dominion product. Two clerks ago, they made the selection of ESNS equipment, and one of the primary reasons is it's more paper-based to give our voters more confidence in who they're voting for. So when you check in to vote in person, you're given kind of a tall ballot card to go put into the voting machine. That brings up the ballot. We track by precinct, you know, where you're from, but that brings up the ballot, and then you're selecting the candidates of your choice or the questions, yes or no. And then once you're done, it prints out on this paper card. And when the paper card is done, you can actually look at who you voted for and make sure that that's who you wanted to vote for. Mm-hmm. If you made a mistake, you go right back to the check-in line and say, hey, can you please reissue this? I want to change my vote. But it doesn't get cast until they actually put that piece of paper into our tabulation equipment.
Okay, very similar to what Washoe County has.
Yeah,
if you're in person voting, you make your choices, the screen tells you what to do or where to hit the pencil eraser, and then it will show you the final ballot on the screen. Is this okay? You click okay, and then you will see on the left it will print a paper tape of your votes, so you are reassured that your votes are being cast. Now, your machines do cards, I guess, right?
Yeah.
They're slightly different.
Yeah, once you put the card into the tabulation equipment, we have that card as a backup.
Now, what did you have before? Because I think you said you didn't like the old system.
No, I think before the clerk made the choice to go with ESNS, I think they were on the Dominion product.
And what is the Dominion?
What Washoe uses.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is even an upgrade from that.
I think so.
Okay.
Just gives our voters a little bit more confidence that it's not actually on a piece of paper, but that's going into the tabulation. It's a backup. You know, it's a plan B if anything's were to fail.
I remember the old days, the voting machines, they were like these huge hulks. They were like big, huge clothes closets that you would go in, and you pull the lever, and the curtain comes out behind you, and you just pull the metal tabs for each race. And then you pull the curtain open and your vote is cast. And I volunteered back in the day for election day, and there would be a Republican representative there at the voting location and a Democrat representative. And at the end of polling, they would open up the back of this machine and they would write down the numbers that the back of the machine would show who voted for who. And I thought that was a very good system. But it was bulky, and with computers, there was no computer involved with this. Everything has to be computers now. And then we have the punch cards.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
like those, huh?
No. No.
Nobody does.
You know, one of the benefits for the voters on this new voter registration system is the unique voter identification number that every voter has. So when the state implemented this centralized, top-down kind of voter registration system, when someone moves from Washoe to Carson, they have that unique voter ID. So it's easy for them to transfer it to Carson to accept it. But when we accept that voter registration in Carson, their voter history follows them, which it didn't before. Every county would register a new voter every single time they move to different counties. So the voter will be able to see their voter history no matter where they move in Nevada.
Is this the Secretary of State's new voter registration and election management system is what you're describing?
Correct.
And what's the benefit?
The benefit is just voter history for them. The benefit for the state is they can pull down information faster, reports, so we don't have to necessarily do it. They can go actually do it. But just to be really clear, the clerks manage the voter rolls. The clerks are in control of our voter roll database, not the Secretary of State. It's not for them to play with, touch, right. feel. They can get reports off of it, but gotcha. We're responsible for the voter rolls.
All right. Only got a minute, so quickly. We have state questions on the ballot, but Carson City has two ballot questions in Carson City. What are they?
Yeah, we have question number one, which is an increase in the sales tax, and we have question number two, which is an increase in the vehicle tax. Both these taxes, the question one and question two, are for strictly road repair or road maintenance, and the funds can only be used for road repair or maintenance.
What's an election day without a higher tax question? That's, it's not unusual. Okay, so if those two are voted in, are these deals where they have to be voted in again, or are they instantly enacted?
No, these, I'm not sure when they're actually go into to law, but these are not constitutional amendments or charter amendments. These are actually, if the public wants it, they'll implement this new process, they'll implement the new tax.
So Carson City's early voting also starts next Saturday. Where can people find the locations? Is it in the sample ballot?
It's in the sample ballot,
page
4 and 5. So, you know, our community center is the main hub for early voting. So October 19th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we usually get a big crowd, and we're prepared for it.
All right. Get some sleep, my friend. And you also have the arguments for and against passage of these questions all laid out in the sample ballot. Very nicely done. Had to be a lot of work. As I'll say it a third time, you didn't have to come here. And I'm so honored that you came out here in your own time to explain all this, Scott Holmes.
It's just, I'm sorry the mistake happened.
They do happen.
All I can do is we've got systems in place to make sure that we're counting our ballots accurate. And you'll see that when you look at your voter record.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Folks, up next, Greg Kidd will be talking with. Text your questions, 884-9910. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1058.